אנחנו קוראים בספר
We're reading in the book Talmud Sefirot volume 1 part 2 page Lamed Tet in the Hebrew version page 39 that is and in English it's also available on the website Kabbalah Library you can ask questions at kab.tv selected questions will be asked during the lesson item number 4 Or Ein Sof surrounds and influences the Igul, the circle, from afar. The surrounding Ein Sof, the Ein Sof Sovev, and revolves it from all sides, because it too is like an Igul around it and far from it. The Heara, the illumination of Ein Sof in the Netzalim, the emanated beings, must only come through this Kav, this line. If the light had come to them through their surroundings as well, the Netzalim, the emanated beings, would have been like the Matzil himself, like the emanator himself, without Gvul and Kitzba, without unlimitedness and without being unrestricted. Again, item 4. Or Ein Sof surrounds and influences the Igul from afar. The Ein Sof Sovev and revolves it from all sides, because it too is like an Igul around it and far from it. The illumination of Ein Sof in the Netzalim must only come through this Kav. If the light had come to them through their surroundings as well, the Netzalim would have been like the Matzil himself, without Gvul, without limit, and Kitzva, restriction. Inner light, Or Pnimi. Item Mem, the small item Mem, which is item number 40 in Or Pnimi, which relates to the words, the Ein Sof Sovev and revolves it from all sides. We distinguish two kinds of light in each Sfira, the inner light, Or Pnimi, and Or Makif, the surrounding light. The light that is clothed inside the sphira is called Or Pnimi, inner light, and the light that cannot clothe inside it because of the Gvul, the limit there, is considered to be remaining in its shoresh, its root. In that state, the sphira receives it only a Heara, receives from it only a Heara, an illumination from afar, called Or Makif, surrounding light. The Ari tells us that although the Igulim, the circles are far from Ein Sof, meaning that there is a great shinui tzura, disparity of form, between them, they still receive from it a heara from afar called Or Makif. That light shines in two manners, namely in general and in particular. The term sovev, surrounding, relates to the general Or Makif, and the term makif, surrounding, relates to the particular Or Makif. Again, item Mem, which is item 40, in Or Pnimi, relating to the Ari's words, the Ein Sof Sovev and revolves it from all sides. We distinguish two kinds of light in each Sfira, Or Pnimi and Or Makif. The light that is clothed inside the Sfira is called Or Pnimi. And the light that cannot clothe inside it because of the gvul there is considered to be remaining in its shoresh. In that state, the sphira receives from it only a heara from afar called Or Makif. The Ari tells us that although the igulim are far from Ein Sof, meaning that there is a great shinui tzura between them, still, they receive from it a heara from afar, called Or Makif. That light shines in two manners, namely in general and in particular. The term sovev relates to the general Or Makif, and the term makif relates to the particular Or Makif.
Of course, it is
in according to the receivers who feel and distinguish between the makif, surrounding, pnimi, internal, yashar, agol, straight, circle, surrounds, revolves from neranchai, if we're talking about yosher, three lines, and so on. Everything is inside the receiver because this is how it happens. This is how this phenomenon occurs inside of him in accordance to his correction. So if he was completely corrected, he wouldn't have distinguished any of it. There would have been a complete neranchai. But because he is still lacking corrections, which he still needs to complete, this is why he has three kavim, three lines, ibuy, nika, mochem, imakif, pnimi, surrounding, internal. The surrounding is the light that needs to get inside of him, but can't yet, and so on. So these discernments that he still feels, it means that not all of his desires are yet connected to in order to bestow. Please continue.
Item Nun, meaning item 50, relating to the words, it too is like an igul around it and far from it. He tells us that this or makif, this surrounding light that the igulim, the circles, receive from Ein Sof, shines and surrounds them from all sides, meaning from all four b'chinot, from all four phases. This means that even b'china dalet, the fourth phase, where the or pnimi, the inner light, does not shine, still receives a he'ara, an illumination from afar, by means of the or makif, the surrounding light, from Ein Sof. The reason for it is that because Ein Sof, it too is like an igul. This means that the light of Ein Sof is called the light agol, a round light, because it does not discriminate between the bechinot, between the phases, and shines and fills bechina dalet, the fourth phase, as well. Therefore, its heara, its illumination, reaches bechina dalet of the igulim as well, though from afar. A question in relation to the previous item. There's a question from friends in Cholon, France, and Haifa. They're wanting to scrutinize what is the difference between a general makif and a particular makif.
The general kli is the same Ein Sof that needs to be revealed in all the kelim, in every kli it's intended to. Only the kli, by reaching such compatibility to the light, it fills it 620 times bigger, deeper, from its very root. Why is it like this? Where does it come from? And so on and so forth. That is the difference. Now, this is the collective makif that needs to close in the end of the correction. And there's the particular makif. When I'm in a degree, in that degree, I have Rosh Toch Sof. Rosh is where I perform a calculation of how much I can receive in order to bestow, to be in compatibility to the light, to be in the equivalence of form. Where I realize this equivalence of form in practice is the Toch. When I receive in order to bestow for the sake of the host. This is where I receive the internal light. This is the Toch. And where I cannot adapt myself to the host because I still don't have a strong enough Masach, this is the Sof of the Kli, where there are empty Kelim, and corresponding to them, there is the surrounding light, which is the particular surrounding light for this Kli, because I'm still limited with my force, with my ability to bestow the resistant force of the Masach. Therefore, we have so many lights. In part 4, we can see he gives them 20 different names of lights. Basically, every phenomenon the Kli feels, he doesn't feel himself. He feels the light in him. The Kli cannot say, well, I feel a deficiency. What does it mean that I feel a deficiency? meaning I feel the light in such an opposite way that it doesn't fill me. Rather, it illuminates in me in such a way without a fulfillment, but it's there. In general, there is no surrounding light. There is no such thing as a surrounding light. The light is inside the kli. The way in which I feel the fulfillment, these are all the forms of the light. So sometimes I feel a fulfillment without a fulfillment, meaning there's some sort of stimulation, but it doesn't fill me, as if they let you smell but not taste. But it is a fulfillment nonetheless, meaning the kli doesn't feel itself. The will to receive can never feel only the desire. It only feels itself corresponding to the fulfillment. So a fulfillment that reaches the degree Shosh, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Daled in the will to receive, then it is felt as a surrounding, internal, partial, is capable, is incapable, it feels it or not, but we always feel the light. This is why we're saying everything we see is the Creator, eventually. Only He is not revealed to the depth in our kelim, in all their four bechinot. And then the different manners of the manifestation of the light inside the kli, we name them in different names. We name these phenomena of the light also light, and the same light which awakens all kinds of emotions inside the desires, because it is in them, we call it a kli. But when we are talking about the emotion, we're talking only on behalf of the kelim. I cannot speak of the light. I don't know what the light is. I know that there is something which awakens in me all kinds of feelings. And he says about those feelings, it is surrounding from afar, from close, inside of me. It brings me, other than a feeling, also a mind, an understanding. It illuminates so deep inside my desire that I understand it. It is afar from me or coming closer to me. Everything is inside the desire. There is no distance, proximity. All these processes inside the desire, this is how I name them, this is how I call them. Yes.
Item 70, scrutinizing the words gvul, limit, and kitzba, unrestricted. The tzimtzum, the restriction, and the masach that were placed on b'china dalet so that she would not receive light inside, puts a gvul, a limit, on the light. It limits its expansion as it stops on the gvul of b'china dalet. What the ne'etzal, the emanated being, does receive in general, though diminished by the restriction, is called a kitzba, a ration.
Again,
item 70. The timtzum, the restriction, and the masach that were placed on b'china dalet, so that she would not receive light inside, puts a gvul, a limit, on the light. It limits its expansion as it stops on the gvul of b'china dalet. What the ne'etzal does receive in general, though diminished by the timtzum, is called a kitzba, a ration.
Go on.
Item 5, the words of the Ari. The expansion order of the 10 Sfirot of Igulim, Kav, is called Adam Kadmon. That first Igul is the closest to Ein Sof, and is called Keter of Adam Kadmon. Afterwards, this Kav, this line, continued to expand, Nimshach, expanded a little and became round once more, turning into a second igul within the first igul. This igul is called igul chokhmah of Adam Kadmon. Then it expanded further down, became round once more, and formed a third igul within the second igul. It is called Igul Bina of Adam Kadmon. It continued to expand and become round in the same manner, finally reaching the tenth igul, called Igul Malchut of Adam Kadmon. Thus, we explained how the ten sfirot were emanated as ten igulim, one within the other. Again, item 5, words of the Ari. The expansion order of the ten sfirot of igulim, kav, line, is called Adam Kadmon. That first igul is the closest to Ein Sof, and is called Keter of Adam Kadmon. Afterwards, this kav, this line, continued to expand, nimshach, expanded a little, and became round once more, turning into a second igul within the first igul. This igul is called Igul Chochmah of Adam Kadmon. It then expanded further down, became round once more, and formed a third igul within the second igul. It is called Igul Bina of Adam Kadmon. It continued to expand and become round in the same manner, finally reaching the tenth igul, called Igul Malchut of Adam Kadmon. We thus explained how the ten sfirot were emanated as ten igulim, one within the other.
We see that there's a very special action here, the light that influences the desire. It builds in the desire, yosher igul, straight line, a circle. We see many of these phenomena in nature. Absorption, rejection, coming in, coming out, or in energy, in electromagnets, let's say, in different frequencies, in everything. Wires, capacitors, everything in nature. There are lakes and rivers. It cannot be in the form of yosher or in the form of igulim until the end of correction. Rather, both need to influence each other mutually, eventually, in order to form a flow of life. So advancing through the ego, with or without a masach, is in yosher. And advancing without any restrictions on behalf of the upper one, it is done through the igulim. So there's the general providence, which are the igulim, and the particular providence, which is the yosher. And it depends how a person receives here. This is the reaction from below. We'll talk about it later. So we have these two forms, closer to the light, closer to the kli. And both of them always operate inside the desire. One cannot be without the other. We have kelim of igulim of keter, and we have kelim de yosher of keter, kelim of igulim of chochma, kelim de yosher of chochma. And this is how the light, the creator, influences the desire, and also the voids between the kelim and the connection between the kelim and yosher, where the yosher connects the igulim. All that is inside the igulim, and we also have to understand that desire does not change. It doesn't turn a gold circle, or it doesn't turn into a tube, you know. Rather, this is the form of its correction with respect to the light, the way it absorbs, the way it reveals the light, the creator, inside the desire. This is how it's called. The desire, according to its structure, does not change. These are the same four phases of direct light. I, the Lord, change not. I have not changed the Vaya. Don't think that there are Igulim, circles, and then Yosher, straight lines, everything is positioned differently. Nothing of it. I, the Lord, change not. Brothers, these are phenomena inside the desire. How am I being filled up? From whom? How do I react? Who do I react to? All these things, the addition to what is happening in him that comes from the desire naturally and then rationally, where he himself is searching for a way to react, where he already has three lines working with what he receives. There is a collision between the knowing and the feeling. Then that builds in him all kinds of phenomena. And these phenomena, the reaction to the fulfillments, they are called igulim, yosher, surrounding, internal, and so on. It's only the impression, the excitement, the reaction to what is happening in him. This is what we're talking about. But the structure itself, I have not changed the Vaya. I, the Lord, change not. These are four Bechinot, and that's it. So we mustn't forget it. Otherwise, there are new orders here. We are only talking about the phenomena inside the desire. And by the way, today we have a big group from Argentina, so probably they're doing something together. I saw them before. Now there are three. Before, there were many of them.
Question from France. Olivier in France, he says that the Bechina Dalet gets an illumination from the Makif, from the surrounding. He says, how can it be that Bechina Dalet gets an illumination because she has a Gvul, which is a limitation, in order not to get an illumination?
First of all, it's incorrect. The fact that we're saying that Bechina Dalet does not receive, there is no reception in the first noun, but especially in Bechinat Dalet. But what we're saying that Bechinat Dalet does not receive, it means that its discernment in order to receive does not receive. But there is no other place to receive the light unless in the Bechinat Dalet in Malchut. And when we say that Bechinat Dalet from the first restriction onward does not receive, we are talking about that discernment in it where she's not receiving for herself, but Malchut working in the style of the first nine. When she receives through rejection, she does receive. Well,
item Pei in Opnimi, item 80, which relates to the words of the Ari, that first Igul is the closest to Ein Sof and is called Keter of Adam Kadmon. Item Pei, item 80, Opnimi. We must understand the discernments in the names of the ten Sfirot. Sometimes we refer to them as four Bchinot, four phases. Sometimes we call them by the names of Yechida, Chaya, Neshama, Ruach, Nefesh, and sometimes we call them by the names of Keter, Chochma, Bina, Ziranpin, consisting of six Sfirot of its own, and Malchut. When we refer specifically to the Kelim, to the vessels, meaning only to the substance of the Netzal, of the emanated being, we define the names of their ten Sfirot by means of the four Bchinot in the will to receive. When we refer specifically to the light that clothes these kelim, we call them nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida. Lastly, when we refer specifically to the kelim, but want to emphasize the reshimot of the lights that they contain when they are emptied of their lights, we then refer to them as Keter, Chochma, Bina, Ziranpin, and Malchut. The origin of the above ten Kelim, Keter, Chochmah, etc., is back in the world of restriction, before the emergence of the Kav. It happened after the departure of the light of Ein Sof from the ten Sfirot, when the Kelim remained empty from lights, which are called ten Igulim. It is known that although the light departed from them, there still remained a Reshimot in each and every Igul from the light that it had. In other words, a very small Heara, a very small illumination from the entire previous light, was left in every Kli. This illumination produces a yearning to the Kli that will not rest and will not be at peace until it draws once more all that light it had before, both in quantity and quality.
We're the same in our world like this as well. We have a small illumination that holds us together, a thin candle. It's not the same thin candle as in spirituality, it's a different definition, but something of the sort that holds us together until we'll discover the entire light. And when there was the light of Ein Sof inside the Kli and it departed, meaning it stopped being felt inside the Kli, that is what it means that it departed. The Kli feels that it departed, it left. Meaning it's a process, like later on in Nekudot when the lights depart the Kelim. So it turns out that the Kli feels a phenomenon of the light leaving and departing, and also the result of it is that an impression is left. This is the same light as it was, the Reshimot, only in a very frail, but it contains all the details as before. And again, we're talking about the Kelim and the impression that they have, but if the light would have left the Kli entirely, the Kli wouldn't have felt itself. It wouldn't have felt itself. Because there's nothing it can compare itself to. The Kli can feel something only if it contains two opposite situations, the present and the previous one. The previous compared to the present one will be called a Kli, and the previous compared to the present, or the other way around, will be called light. Do you listen? Do you hear that? Okay, I will repeat it. I was in two states. In one state, I had an impression and excitement, and in the other state, I had an impression, excitement. The difference between these two states, I can say, it's either the light comes or goes. Depends on the order of the situations, but these two situations are the Kelim. What is the light then? There is no light. The impression inside the Kli in one state, and the impression inside the Kli in one state, in the other state, and the connection between the states comes or goes. This is all there is. All the phenomena are inside the desire. Is that clear? So we are talking about the light to the amount that the Kli is inspired, impressed from. What is it inspired from? I do not know. But the measure of and the nature and the quality of the impression, I measure it according to my nature, according to my flavors. Everyone who disqualifies does it due to his own flaw. And this is what I call lights. This is what I call lights. You give something salty to someone, he says, oh, it's so sweet. You give something sweet to another person, he says, well, you know, it's almost salty. So, there's nothing outside of the Kli. All we measure is what there is inside the Kli and the difference between the different states. Yes.
In connection with Igulim and Yosher, can we say that in terms of the quality, in terms of the inside the person, where one is higher than the other?
Usually, Kelim Deigulim comes before the Yosher. Our whole work is to turn the Kelim Ufigulim of Ensof into Kelim Deyosher. So that everything will be according to a measurement, limitation, masach, that everything that we receive unrestrictedly from the Creator, that we will perform our work, and our work is always in portion, one after the other, until we reach Igul ourselves. And now, when we are advancing towards situations where we need to correct ourselves in general, this is why the world is revealed as more integrals, more global, as a circle, which obliges us. And before, we used to work in Yosher, in our egoistic Yosher. The more, as much as I give, as much force that I give, as much as I seemingly have a masach to pay for something, this is how much I gain. As much as I invest, this is how much I gain. So if you're smarter or crueler, you used to succeed more. But now it's coming to an end, this method of work. Why? Because we enter an igul, a circle, we're approaching a different method that we have to fill ourselves, not through Yosher, rather through the igulim. And therefore, we can work, and do so many things, and all of a sudden, everything disappears. There are no results. Because the kelim become closer to the igulim, to the circles, and this is the crisis that we're experiencing. We don't know how to get along between the igulim, circles, and Yosher, directness. This is the other providence that is now working in the world. From above downward, there are two forms, igulim and Yosher, two forms of providence. And from below upward, also, it depends how a person is working, through the igulim or through the Yosher. We all have to work in Igulim, in Yosher, in order to fill the Igulim. That means to be a part of a group so that there will be no difference between us, so that we will all be equal, so on and so forth. This is the Igul, the circle. But each one puts an effort through his Yosher, first in the group, and then in the entire humanity. And if we won't know how to connect our Yosher to the Igul, to the circles, then that's it. We will suffer from the crisis. The crisis is exactly the lack of communication between these two forms. Yes, Danny?
So the future state is in that we connect those two states together?
Yes, we fill the igulim through the yosher.
So it's not either one or the other?
No, there is no such thing as either this or that. We used to exist in yosher. We have evolved through it for thousands of years, but now that's it. Now is the time of correction. First, there was the preparation. This is why it was called as an exile, a preparation, a mixture between the kelim. And now is the time of correction. And the correction is to fill up the circles. And here too, from above downward, we learned that the yosher is in order to build more and more circles. And the measurement is according to the yosher, because there we have a masach, a desire, a shemot, and all. But the result is in the igulim, in the circles. And we're also comprising all our systems. Even in our physiological body, we are built from circles and lines, igulim and yosher, in everything you look at. In technology, in electronics, it's very clear, it's very obvious. Oh, who do I see here? Yes.
What we're studying here, what I feel anyway, is simply that we're speaking about states. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, very dry.
Why dry?
Because we don't come to these states.
Dear chap, in those lines you want everything to be written?
It's written. 1, 2, 3, 4, you're found here, you're found there, and he doesn't tell you the path.
He would have talked about the path. You would have said, where is the precision here? Where's the technology?
But that's what he does. Suddenly I'm here, suddenly I'm there, suddenly I'm igul, suddenly I'm yashar, suddenly I'm straight. And what we lack is the path of how to do that. Also, in his writing...
Are you driving? Do you have a car? Do you have a driving license?
Yes, I have a driver. No, I'm just joking.
You have GPS. It tells you there's this voice, usually an unpleasant voice. Right, left, do this, do that. This is what it tells you. It tells you so. That's it. But if you understand what right means, what left means, what everything means, by this you are filled up with an enormous emotion. Only you need to interpret those words emotionally. So?
Now, if you, my teacher, weren't next to me, I would just dry out from this.
Yeah.
Meaning you, like an artist, you enter your feeling to me, and thus I can see the full picture. Otherwise I could sit here and not learn anything.
And if you would have taken any other ordinary book of study without a teacher, it's always like this. It is passed on from one person to another.
So the whole idea of Talmud es Sefirot, it's written from the upper mind, that the Ari wrote it, or something from his inner feeling?
He wrote it from his inner emotion.
Not from the upper mind?
What's an upper mind? Eliyahu came to him, Jelaya came to him. Who is the upper mind that came to him? I don't understand.
No, there's an upper mind.
There was such a person named the Ari. He used to feel something spiritual. Besides of feeling, he also understood where that feeling came to him from, as far as the kelim, as far as the light, cause and effect, to the very finest details. I don't even know which details, but what he felt, this is what he wrote. All in all, this is a scientist who researches through his desire, when he knows how to work with his desire in a controlled manner. He has a screen, he holds himself like this. And then he, through the Masach, he knows how to do different situations. It's like driving. And then three lines. If I do this, if I do that, what do I receive? What do I get? He is experimenting over himself constantly. And out of this work, this is what is called scrutiny. Out of this scrutiny, he has results. And this is what he's writing about. It's like a laboratory. It's a full world. Then he feels all those things, but he knows how to criticize all those things with his mind in a very objective way. And this is what he writes about. He doesn't have anything other than what he feels. Only his feeling is... It's both a feeling and the mind next to it.
That's it. That when you read the Zohar... When I'm sitting here and looking at people, we're sitting, and even though we don't understand the Zohar, but we connect to it a lot more. I don't know why. And there's this problem with Talmud es Sefirot. Well, you dry out. You just dry out. You see, it's this heavy, heavy material.
We upload our lesson to the archive, and I hope that in a while you will laugh about yourself. You will look at yourself and laugh from what you're saying now. It is filled with emotion, especially Tess. It gives you, in such a precise way, a tiny spin and another one. Only here a person needs to be very skilled. It's like you bring an expert, he's looking at some composition, he says, ah, this is like this, this is like that. And you, for you, take someone who plays the violin from the street and it's enough for you. And other people, they need Paganini or a special instrument and a concert hall. That's the way it is. When they write only about the kelim, what they feel inside the kelim, a judge has only what his eyes can see, cannot write about anything else, but in a very precise, very accurate way. So when he writes it, it's like this GPS, and now I can follow him exactly, even in lesser degrees than him, but I already begin to recognize that if I will do this or that, what will come out of it? Still, it's a guide. Without this guidance, one cannot develop. How much can you talk? How many words can you say without having any discernments? Well, for the time being, you can, but let's continue.
So we are in the line that starts from this Hera. This illumination is called the Reshimo. This Hera, this illumination, is called a Reshimo. Know that the content of the names of the Ten Sfirot, Keter, Chochmah, etc., define primarily the Reshimot of the light that remained in the Ten Kelim. From this, you learn that there is not a single desire in the worlds, or even a slight awakening of a desire, both in the upper ones, the Elyonim, as well as in the Tachtonim, the lower ones, that is not rooted in these ten Sfirot of Igulim. It is true even with respect to the corporeal, still, vegetative, animate, and speaking. However, it is clearly impossible for any desire to awaken in an essence, if a sufficient fulfillment for that desire did not appear before. We have already clarified thoroughly in part one of this book that the will to receive is not the first reason for the light or for its fulfillment, as people think. Quite the contrary, the light and the fulfillment are the reason for the desire. It is the attribute of the will to bestow that is necessarily contained in the upper light that created the will to receive in the Netzal, the emanated being, because a desire in the Elyon, a desire in the upper one, becomes a compelling force in the Tachton, the lower one. Thus, the upper light became the reason for the occurrence of the four b'chinot of the will to receive in the Netzal, the emanated being. These b'chinot are the roots of all the desires that appear in the worlds. Therefore, how can a desire appear without a reason? Meaning, without that light, that upper light that begets it. It is tantamount to stating that there is a creation in the world without a father and a mother that made it. You must also know that the entire reality and all the creations that are destined to come into the worlds already exist in En Sof. Moreover, they exist there in their full glory and perfection as it is destined to appear in the worlds. Thus, you evidently see that all the desires that are destined to appear already appeared and were revealed in En Sof. They appear there in their perfect, complete state, and it is the completeness and the fulfillment, named the upper light, that fathered and created these desires. It turns out that the fulfillment for the desire precedes the occurrence of the desire that is related to that fulfillment, and indeed causes it. Now you can thoroughly understand the issue of the reshimot that remained in the 10 sfirot of Igulim after the restriction and the departure of the perfection and the fulfillments in the above four bichinot, called 10 Igulim. 10 Igulim. These reshimot mean that all the desires that filled them when they were in Ein Sof, and that they now lost, remained thoroughly carved and imprinted in them. For that reason, they necessarily remained longing and yearning for the fulfillments and the perfection that they had. This is what we call reshimot. We said above that there cannot be any occurrence of a desire of any kind, both in the upper worlds and in the corporeal world, that is not rooted in the ten sfirot of Igulim. There are two roots that precede the existence of all the worlds after the Tzimtzum, after the restriction. First root, every desire already exists in its full glory and grandeur. This is the reality that exists in Ein Sof. Second root, all the desires are completely emptied of the fulfillment that was related to them in Ein Sof. This root is called the world of restriction. All the kelim and the substance of the creation extend from the world of restriction. This means that they are only empty kelim and desires that have lost their fulfillments, while all the fulfillments of those desires come from Ein Sof. Remember these roots well, for they are among the most necessary to remember as we continue to study this wisdom.
Any questions? Well,
why do all the igulim have the same center, even though the whole each world doesn't finish there?
The center of the igulim has to be a mutual center. This is what you mean, right? It has to be a mutual center because they all have one reason, one cause, one, the Creator, the act of creation.
So why doesn't each world finish in that same place as well?
Because this is already the emergence of the Yosher, the emergence of the desire, according to the Masachim. So it cannot end in the same place, each and every Partsuf. Because the Aviut, the coarseness the Partsufim work with is different. With respect to the Yosher, the size of the Partsuf indicates the gap between what it receives as Keter and what it receives as Malchut. And in the Partsufim, it depends on the Masach. Next.
How can I, in my feeling, understand the difference between Yosher and Igul? Because now you said that the world is revealing more as an Igul, as a circle.
Let's say starting today you decide that you're fat, okay? And you decide to start a diet. What are you laughing about? Till now, you ate whatever you wanted, and from now on, you examine everything, you measure everything, you know, with scales, and a little bit from here, a little bit from there, you have macrobiotic and other things, and that is called with measure and weight. So your kli remains as before. Around kli, give me as much as you want on the one hand. On the other hand, I restrict it and I put it into yosher. Is that clear to you? So here you have a tube and you put everything into it through Yosha. And what happens there is an igul circle. Okay.
But I didn't intend there. Meaning, we're trying to explain to the world that there's a global crisis, an integral crisis. When you speak with people about that, their response is, even in the past there was crises, so what do you want? Meaning, where can we hit a point and say, this is a unique crisis, where sure, we can speak about it in many of its different ways, but the people didn't live 500 years ago, so they think that, you know, even 500 years ago it was like this. So if I understood properly what we're trying to explain today, maybe that's the difference between this yosher, this directness, and this igul, the circle.
No, we shouldn't be more confused than we already are. Enough with what we have. It depends on the type of people you're talking to. If you see an audience that can hear rational, scientific kind of explanation with different examples from science and history, this is one thing. If you see an audience of ordinary people, then don't use this whole science. It's enough to say that we have such and such problems, we want to correct them, or don't we? Yes? So let's do it. How? Through connecting, through bonding. Without the crisis and anything else, they don't know about the crisis in the world, they don't care about it, they haven't heard anything. All they know is what they have, work, home, football, beer. Well, common people, ordinary people. So they care about kids, family, security, health, pension, such things. We have enough problems here also. Why do we need to speak about evolution, ecology? Leave me alone with all that. That's my problem. So it depends which kind of people you're talking to. There are people who relate more to the Kelim Ufigulim. We'll talk about it once. And there are more. And there are other people who lean more towards the Kelim of Yosher. So they have a lack of communication, but we won't discuss it now. But then you see, according to the audience, more or less, how to approach them. So eventually, what do you want? You want to show them that through connection, through bonding, we will build a device through which we can solve every problem in the world. We need to have this device, bonding, mutual responsibility, mutual guarantee, connection. If we have that, all problems disappear, or at least we'll know how to solve and correct all the problems or to better our conditions. So everyone with his own level, you have to bring them to such a place, to an agreement, to give it a goal, to give it a try. Let's sit in a circle or attend to a course or something. But the main thing is to give people the feeling that through connection, through bonding, we acquire the ability, we acquire a clue to a special force of correction. And from here onward, we can look at the world differently. We know how we can improve things, and it's not done through money or hard labor, rather through connection. It's something pleasant. Even when you arrange the place for correction and also the correction itself. And the correction itself, it's also not hard. Because here the correction is something more internal. The more you try to connect to others, you let the light to fix everything, to influence things. And all of a sudden you begin to receive a new mind and emotion. And if you don't correct things in a corporal level, then it goes through a spiritual level, and then everything comes into place, and we'll see how much everything is connected, and all of a sudden, everything is at peace. Do we have something back to the point?
Question from Moscow. from Sasha in Moscow. What's the reason for everything? If it's not attained, then why do we need to learn about it?
The reason of all reasons is that we will feel the igulim of Ein Sof through the yosher. Yosher is called my masach, my attitude towards the fulfillment, and through the fulfillment I connect to the Creator. What is the difference between the fulfillment of the igulim in Ein Sof in the first state to the Ein Sof in the third state? There I revealed the emanator. He wanted to give me that Ein Sof. I don't want it. First, I want to connect to you. It's like Bina, the second Bechina of four phases of direct light. I want to connect to you on condition that I connect to you to the same amount. I'm prepared to work with my desires and with your fulfillments. So first, I restrict myself. What I feel that I want doesn't matter. And the fulfillment. I don't want any of it. Now I start feeling myself only on condition and in a manner that I connect to you more and more and more. Now came the Ari and then Bala Sulam, and they explain which steps can we take here in order to realize this process that we have to grow through. This is why I gave the example with the GPS that tells us, go right, go left, do this, do that, and then gradually I come to the same state. Everything is round, but I came to it not through a round thing, rather through the line, through three lines, through Tzinot tube, meaning through restriction. This is how it is called, but it's not like we draw a circle and a square, how to put a circle into a square, this mathematical problem. No, it's the form of my approach. On behalf of the Creator, it's a circle. On my behalf, it's only Yosher. Justice. Through each and every action I make, I connect to you more. I reveal you. There is none else besides Him. This is what is always on my side. Israel, the light and the Creator are one. This is what has to be. If I reach a greater intensity in that, the Creator in me, then I perform the action. Otherwise, I don't. Until there is a restriction, and that's it. Besides for the essential, necessary things in order to exist.
What do we need to do in order to close that gap between the Igulim and Yosher in connection with the global crisis today? That's a question from Rishon.
To learn how each and every one of us, through his own Yosher, can build mutual igulim, mutual circles. This is what we're doing in our circles, in the round tables, in our workshops. We try that each and every one will give his support to others, and eventually we will build a circle. This is exactly what we're doing. And by doing so, we begin to resemble the circles that are now revealed by nature into an integral global world, our society, ecology, and everything. But in our case, how can we resemble the nature and systems in humanity which are revealed as circles? Only if we connect between us as circles, and that circle will resemble those circles, and through this we come to balance with nature. And now let's move on to the next part of the lesson.
We're going to the next part of the lesson, and before that a song.
הוא כבר יגע ועשה עד שמלה השיער בתפילה שלמה לעזרתו על כן אזכיר לכם שבאהבתכם אשר בזה תלוי זכות הקיום שלנו על כן תקנו לכם עסק מדומה הבורא הוא שדורש אהבתנו אם יתאמץ עכשיו מים בכלי מנוקב לרבות מאבד צימונו כל שיגע בו אתמול, בא ונשרף לו הכל, מחדש מתחיל עבודתו. על כן אזכיר לכם שבאהבתכם אשר בזה תלוי זכות הקיום שלנו. על כן תפנו לכם בעסק מדומה, הבורא הוא שדורש אהבתנו. תנו לכם עכשיו אך ורק אליו הוא רוצה באהבה בינינו. תנו לכם עכשיו אך ורק אליו הוא רוצה באהבה בינינו. אלו מצב נושר בעל ראש של אדם המיואש מכוחותיו עצמו. הוא כבר יגע ועשה עד שמלא השיער בתפילה שלמה לעזרתו. על כן אזכיר לכם שבאהבתכם אשר בזה תלוי זכות הקיום שלנו. על כן תפנו לכם מעסק מדומה, הבורא הוא שדורש אהבתנו. תנו לכם עכשיו אך ורק אלינו.